Reformed Church.
So for a couple services recently, I was talking about hearing from God, and I think the emphasis really that I've been putting on the topic so far has really been more about like understanding and getting revelation from God. And if you don't feel like you're getting revelation from God, you know, how to remedy that and what it takes to get revelation from God. And the particular verse that I've been using is John 8, where Jesus tells the people that had already believed on him, he said that if you continue in my word, then you're truly my disciples, and you'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Now, he is actually talking to unsaved people, but the principle applies just the same, that he says, if you continue in my word, then you'll know the truth. And so it does take a level of continuance in the word of God that you've heard or are hearing before you get a revelation of it. And so you can apply that to a lot of different things, but one of the things you can apply it to is that if you're a believer, and that is important, right? You need to be a believer to get your own revelation. If you're not a believer yet, if you haven't really received Jesus to be your Savior, he's already saved you on his end, but if you haven't received Jesus, you need to do that first. Because if the Holy Spirit's not in you, God hasn't qualified you yet with his own righteousness to be able to receive revelation from him. Every revelation that an unbeliever receives, even to get saved, has to come from the outside in. Once you're a believer, though, you don't have any need that any man should teach you, because you have an anointing that's referring to the Holy Spirit that makes things clear to us in 1 John 2. You have an anointing that teaches you all things now, right, living on the inside of you. So if you are a believer, it's important to know, on one hand, that you have this anointing to teach you on the inside of you, but if you don't feel like you're receiving revelation from the Lord as a believer, again, the Bible says that in order to get real revelation, you can't just hear the Word of God. You need to continue hearing the Word of God. You need to meditate on the Word of God and give your attentions wholly to these things. And then it says you'll know the truth. Knowing the truth does not happen just because you're a believer, does not mean you're automatically going to get revelation from God. Just because you have all this truth on the inside of you doesn't mean you're automatically going to get revelation from God. Again, Jesus said that there's a continuance process in the Word before you get revelation. And again, God can be speaking things to you in your heart. You can be reading the Bible, and God can be speaking to you something through Scripture or at church. But the things that you already know as a believer, you need to continue to meditate on those things and give attention fully to the Lord. And in your meditation and your attention being fully on the Lord, there's a lot I could say about this, but in continuing, even in the things you already know, that is going to give you more revelation. When you continue in those things, your attentions are given fully to those things, God is going to give you revelation. It makes you sensitive to the Holy Spirit and not dull of hearing when you continue in these things. So the one thing that I was saying in the first part regarding hearing from God was that the first thing to make sure is that you actually are giving enough time to the Lord to be able to hear from him. And there's not a particular quota of time, but a lot of Christians are accustomed to, and maybe it's because they've not been taught any differently, but a lot of Christians are taught to just sort of do their devotional, and if they're a baby Christian, you know, even if it's just 5 minutes in the morning, you know, you're a baby Christian, so that's okay, but that's not the way that Christians should be taught. Every Christian, every person on the whole earth is mandated from God to seek him with their whole heart and to seek first the kingdom of God, to make that the number one priority. And that's not different because you're a baby Christian versus someone who's been a pastor or a teacher for 20, 30, 40, 50 years. The amount of seeking that God asks of us is not different whether you got saved yesterday or whether you got saved 50 years ago. We seek God all the same. It's always with all our heart. It's always the number one priority. It's not like you have a small priority in the Word of God when you first get saved, and that priority grows and grows and grows as you progress and you learn. It may be that way, but not because that's the way that God wants it to be. You can seek God with your whole heart if you just got saved. And in any way, I think a lot of Christians are still in that, like, I do my devotional in the morning, I say my prayers before bed kind of thing, and that is not going to get you revelation from God. And a lot of Christians are questioning, why am I not getting revelation from God? And the first thing you need to evaluate is whether you're actually seeking the Lord with all your heart, and whether your life actually revolves around the Word of God. Like your whole life, it may sound like a big ask, but it's not a big ask when these things are the source of our joy and the abundance of all things. It's like, you know, someone saying, you know, you bring you to an all-you-can-eat buffet. Like, that's a really big ask to say, eat as much as you want until you're full. If it's something that you enjoy, it's not a big ask. And so spending time with the Lord, seeking the Lord, and meditating on His Word day and night the way that Psalms 1 speaks of, it's not a big ask because of that, but it's important to know that that is something that is going to have to happen before you think you're going to get revelation from God. That's really what it's a continuance process. It's just an all-the-time thing. If you ask, well, how much time should I be spending with the Lord? How much is enough? There's not a time quota. But all I can tell you is that as you seek the Lord with all your heart and make that an all-day thing, a meditate on His Word day and night thing, you know, because let me even just tell you this. Even if you spent 2 hours of private time with the Lord every single day, that's not enough time. And you may say, well, how could that not be enough time? Because it's day and night. Meditating on the Lord all the time is what that should just be our goal all the time. And when that's your goal, the private time you spend will be right. I'll just tell you that. That will fall into line if your goal is to meditate on His Word day and night. When it's your goal to just carve out a piece of time for the Lord, and then we go about our business and just get distracted with the cares of this life for the rest of the day, that's not what God wants. Even if it's a large quantity of time, private time, but if it's basically like that's the Lord's time, or when I'm at church, or in the mornings or something like that, and then I get caught up with my day, that's not what the Lord wants. Again, meditating on His Word day and night is what the Bible talks about. That's just an all-the-time thing. Prayer is an awesome way, the Bible speaks of, to retain the knowledge of God. So if you find, I've been practicing this recently, especially like in the morning when I first wake up, I'll just stay in bed for a while and I'll just kind of meditate for a while. But sometimes your mind can get drifting on what you need to do for the day and stuff. And I'll just start speaking out loud and praying. And that enables you to retain the knowledge of God. But regardless of how you're doing it, the point is your mind. And when your goal is say, you know what, Lord, I want to make my life revolve around Your Word, to revolve around the gospel and the good news, whatever follows as far as the private time you designate, God will take care of that. You're going to want to spend as much private time as you can possibly spend, because if you're doing it with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind, someone that's seeking God that way is not trying to see how little private time they can possibly spend with the Lord, because you've already tasted and seen that the Lord is good, and that has enticed you into this. Again, I've been saying this the whole time too. We have even a Reform U class called Desire for Jesus. That's a great thing to get you started too, because it just talks about how to cultivate a desire to get to know the Lord, which is not really what I'm talking about now. But anyway, that's the first thing that you really need to evaluate, whether you are even giving enough time for the Lord to speak to you, because it does take hearing the Lord and listening to Him and paying attention to Him to actually get revelation. The Bible says, acknowledge Him in all of your ways, and He'll direct your path. If you want direction from the Lord, that means wisdom and revelation from the Lord. The proper translation of that is actually make your path straight, which basically means Him making things clear to you. If you want clarity from the Lord, you need to acknowledge Him in all your ways. That is the biblical prescription if you want revelation. And I'm telling you, you don't even know how many people, even with a small church, how many people have talked to me or Pastor Jose or Miss Kim about, I don't hear the voice of God, I don't get revelation from the Lord, and I guarantee you, I already know. These people ask this all the time, but the thing is, I already know that if you ask this consistently and it just goes on and on and on and you never get revelation from God, you are not spending enough time meditating on the Word of God. I already know, because the Bible says, all who seek, find. And if you say you're seeking and you're not finding, I actually question your seeking. And again, I'm only saying this because I want you to find. And if I didn't want you to find, I wouldn't shoot straight with you, because, you know, it's like even correcting your kids. If you don't really love your kids, you won't correct your kids. Because if you don't really care whether your kids are hurt or not, then, you know, you don't really give them guidelines. You don't correct them on anything. But when you love somebody, you'll actually correct what they're doing so that they can get the most out of what the Lord has given. And I'm just trying to get you to receive the most out of what the Lord has given. And if you want revelation, I'm telling you, it's available to you, but I'm telling you, you're going to have to acknowledge the Lord in all your ways. It's something that you say, you know what, Lord, I'm not saying you do that perfectly. I'm not saying you never get distracted, but I'm also saying that that is not the goal, to get distracted. You know what I'm saying? Like, distraction becomes something that, like, you know what, Lord, I got caught up, but you just thank God that you're always righteous. Sometimes when we get distracted, our first thought is somehow that either God is angry or he's disappointed, and or God is offended or his feelings are hurt or something like that. And it's not that at all. God's not asking you to spend time getting to know him and hearing him for his benefit. Isaiah 55 says, to hear, and eat what is good. He wants you to receive. He wants you to eat what is good. He wants you to have good in your life. It is completely something that is for your benefit. And don't get me wrong, God is pleased. He takes pleasure in spending time speaking to you. That is something that God takes pleasure in. But it is you that's being benefited, and that's why it pleases him so much. So, again, with all that said, that's the first thing you need to really evaluate is, Lord, am I giving you enough time? This needs to be an all-day thing. And then again, when it becomes a number one priority in your life, the private time that you spend with the Lord is just going to be, it's going to end up being as much as you possibly can. It really is going to be. Gave you guys an example recently about how, you know, I wasn't getting the time I wanted privately with the Lord. And so I just cut some things back, and I'm like, well, I just don't do that anymore. And, you know, there are things that you're just going to say, you know what, this is not important to me anymore. I'm just not doing this anymore. I'm just not spending as much time doing this or hanging out here. Or they're just going to be things you're going to find are not very important when you make it your goal to meditate on the Lord day and night. Because, you know, again, it's for our good. The Bible speaks about faith. It calls it serving the Lord in the particular verse in Deuteronomy. But it talks about serving the Lord for the abundance of all things. I'm like, I want what God has in store for my life. God wants to produce miracles in you. God wants to produce awesome things. And it's going to take a commitment of time, again, all your day, to be able to get revelation from God. Again, if you continue in his word and you continue to meditate on these things, you're going to get revelation. God is going to speak to you. And he's going to speak to you things that you don't know right now. He's going to speak to you new things that you've never seen before. And you can't limit God with how much you can know, because the Bible says you have the mind of Christ. You already have the mind of Christ. So if you think, too, that that's a disqualification just because, well, I'm not Pastor so-and-so, or I never went to Bible school. But, I mean, shoot, if you went to Bible school, that would probably most likely be a hindrance to your knowledge than a help. But sometimes people disqualify themselves, and they haven't gotten much revelation from the Lord, so they just assume there's something wrong with me. I haven't gotten revelation because there's something wrong with me, or I'm just stupid, or I'm dumb, and I can't learn from God, or, you know, I'm not smart enough. But, man, I'm not going to teach on that right now. Maybe in the future I'll get to touch on this, but Jesus only teaches fools, just so you know. He only teaches fools. If you read on our glossary the definition for child, infant or child, it actually has teaching on that. Jesus only teaches fools. In fact, if you think you're wise and you thought that you were smart, Jesus can't teach you. Jesus only gives righteousness to the unrighteous. He only gives healing to the sick. He only gives life to the dead. And he only gives wisdom to the fools. And until you actually realize that you actually are foolish in your own mind, you can't learn from the Lord. If you were wise in your own estimation, then you don't need Jesus. So Jesus' inheritance is to fill people that were empty, not to fill people who are already full. And so your own admission to say, you know, that maybe you feel foolish, that's accurate in your physical mind, but you got to stop relating to that and say, you know what, Lord, I may be foolish in my physical mind, but I have the mind of Christ, as 1 Corinthians chapter 2, I think it's verse 16, the very last verse. It says that we have the mind of Christ. On the inside of you, you have Jesus' mind, and if you're willing to spend enough time meditating on the things that at least you already know about the Lord, he'll add more revelation to you. But it's a continuous process, and again, you have to acknowledge the Lord in all your ways. So,
we hope you enjoyed this message from Reformed Church. If you have, please share this with someone else and help us get this uncommon truth out to the world. If you'd like to support this good news, you can do so at reformedchurch.com/give. Also on our website, you can take advantage of our free messages, articles, and even full discipleship courses. Start reforming your mind now at reformedchurch.com.